be lost.
All right. Where were you? All right. Were you there originally? Was trying to figure out what's going on.
No,
I want to make sure it's dynamic. So you could do that if you want to move, but you're gonna be permanently away from. Also, I want to say this parenthetically as we go through the book. Husbands and wives, praise the Lord. Let me talk to you first. Even though you're going through it together, but you're going through it individually, there's a three-part component that husbands and wives experience. They experience God together as a couple and separately. So you have a relationship with each other, and you both have a relationship with God, but individually you got your own relationship with God independently. So with that being said, when it comes to homework assignments, I don't want to hear the Samuels. I don't want to see the Samuels, and it's the same answers on both papers. You're not doing that. No. You can't tell me God's working the same way with the same answers. Guess what? You had a life before your mate.
Yeah.
And you've experienced God before your mate. Amen. Independently. So I don't mind you all sitting together. I don't mind you all reading together. But I do say there need to be a one time that you are away from your husband or wife and you one-on-one with God in the book. Amen. All right. And so also in this, you have to bring your answers to class. Because again, this is experiencing God together. And guess what? Where you are seated is where you're going to stay. You got to stay with the group. Can't be navigating switching up groups. The only way we're going to switch rules is, we don't think we're going to do switch rules. Because we want the camaraderie to be built among the individuals that you are sitting next to. So as we interact, I'm going to stretch you a little bit to come out of your comfort zone. I'm not saying this book is designed to spill all your beans, but I don't want you to be surface only because you don't want people to know your stuff. But if we're going to be experiencing God, we experience God together. Men of the Code is going to be very vulnerable in this class. I'm going to share a lot of my experience and heart. And so hoping that through that, it'll help some people. But also, we want you, what you're sharing, you never know how that person at your table may be going through that experience right now, and here you are sharing it. You are helpful to them. All right? So it's called Experience of God. Who doesn't have a book? Right. So we have order 10. Raise your hand. Keep your hand high. Who needs a book? Need a book? One. But you know, it's $10 for your book.
Yeah.
Something okay.
Well, you gonna get a book.
Oh, you get the book. If I gotta beat your mama down, you get the book.
I'm gonna get you a book.
All right. Again.
Who
gets you, huh?
No, they're not.
They're on order.
They're not here.
Also, raise your hand if you weren't here last week. All right. Jesus. Fran will be passing out the two-part paper that you need.
So I have that old book. If you want to,
somebody
want to use that
one? The old book? What old book? Keep your hands up high so Frank can make sure she gets to you and get you the two priest papers.
Do you want it?
No. Also,
you all had a full table, right, last week? Y'all had the youngs and them sitting with you all, right?
Okay.
Want to make sure that we have some good interaction. Also, I want you all to police your table. Hey, you ain't been here before. Maybe want to find another seat. It's not to be mean, but it's just that, you know, because again, we're building camaraderie, we're building this phrase. And so we want to make sure that we, you know, sometimes add new people causes us to go back in our shell. All right? Amen. So, for new people, you probably have not done chapter 1. Probably have not read it. So, for the others, since we have already done it, pull out your Jesus example. And let's you all take a minute and answer those questions. The Jesus example. Oh, you didn't get one?
She wanted to make copies.
Okay, there you go.
You need a blank copy. You need a blank copy. I have one here. Yeah, do that.
You have a blank copy. You need a blank one. But no answers on it. Where's yours?
Okay,
This one, is that true?
Yeah. That's an old book. I mean, that's not the same kind of thing. Yeah.
Is that the same?
It's an older model.
Right, but is it the same?
It's almost the same, yeah. It's just a little bit different. Not a lot.
Take the time to write that in. Come on, y'all, we gotta hurry up. We gotta get through it. So if you write down.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody finish? Is Jesus' example? You wrote in the words. Answer the questions. Right. For the interest of time, again, I want to make sure you answer those questions. We went over that last week, explaining what that means. And again, for somebody who was here last week, what stood out in that exercise that we went through? The Jesus example.
Love.
Huh?
Love.
All right? Yeah, love. What else?
Obedience.
All right. What else?
God always works with
God is always at work. All right, but that's not in the, is it? That's in the second page, not the first page, right?
Not the first page.
I'm just testing y'all. All right? Jesus, God is always at work, all right? Help me understand that, somebody. What else is there? See, love, we see obedience.
That he does what the Father
does. Yeah, Jesus does what the Father does. All right? How that should look like in our lives? How can we apply that? In what sense? Huh? Yes, we should be doing what Jesus did, correct? Right? What else? What else you see in that little paragraph?
The Father loves the Son.
So love, yeah, but the Father loves the Son. All right? What else? Because there's something after that he says love. Go ahead. Yeah, so he says, because I love you, the Son, guess what? I'm going to show you even greater things to come. All right? What else after that?
Well, what about before that?
Go ahead.
What about the Son does nothing without the Father?
Yeah, the Son does nothing without the Father. Okay? Now, where is the Father?
In heaven.
In heaven. And where is the Son? Okay, let's go back here. When was this written?
Before the foundation of the world.
That's good. That covered it all. It was foundation of the world, it was written. But around 90 AD, right? That this text is written, all right? But it's written, why did the author write it? Who's the author? Let's start there.
John,
right? Now, what is he writing?
He's writing what the Father told him.
Yeah, he's writing what the Father does, but he is writing what? Everything that Jesus what? Did and taught. Right? So now, put that in perspective, John is recording what he sees Jesus doing. So where is Jesus?
On earth.
Thank you. Woo! Y'all had him at the right hand of the Father. John said, no, he's on earth. Right? And he's doing what the Father is doing. So what does that say about earth?
Nothing on earth can happen unless it happens in heaven.
Yeah. Or at least it should look like heaven. But I wonder, Ron, what's the breakdown? Pray for my phone. Why isn't the church replicating what heaven looks like? Relationship and sin, right? But isn't that interesting, Deacon? Because the audience is not unbelievers, are they? The audience is who? Christians. And he mentioned sin and disobedience. You mean tell me church Christian folk can be disobedient? No, y'all be disobedient, do y'all? Notice I said y'all. Amen. But notice he says, nothing happens on earth unless it happens in heaven first, right?
Right.
So now, what I want you to do for 5 minutes is interact with each other. And you all, these four dudes did it on the way here, so they get it. What does it mean that God is at work in and around you? What does that look like? Talk to each other about what it means to say God is at work in and around you. Take 5 minutes. I'm starting. The clock starts now. 30 seconds.
He might not give us what it is we prayed for, but he give us what we need instead. We said that because it's day in one part of the world and night in another part of the world, mm-hmm. he's always working because mm-hmm. somebody is always in need and calling upon him.
Mm-hmm.
We see people changing and growing, and that's how we know that he's working in our lives, you know, around us,
mm-hmm.
and that he speaks for us, he intercedes for us, so he's always working in our lives.
Amen. That's good. That's good. High five. Yes, indeed. One thing that stood out to me of all the wonderful things that is night in one area and day in another.
Yes.
And but yet God is still at work in both of the seasons. That's powerful. Yes, y'all on that.
We also know that he's everywhere. He's all around us.
Excuse me. The goal is to learn from other tables. Okay, cool. Let's go.
And we can tell by our walk, even when we don't want to do what we should do, he intercedes for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he changes our mind. Some takes longer than others.
Mm.
He changes our mind and gets us on the right track.
Mm.
And the whole thing is, we know what we should do. It's not a matter of that knowing what we should do. And knowing the Lord makes you remember,
mm-hmm.
when you go astray, you know you're going astray.
So yeah.
You don't want to get too far out there before you turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all around us.
Yeah.
And he's always got his hand out. Sometimes we don't have our hand, but he's always reaching out. He's always there.
That's good.
A lot of people say we found the Lord. The Lord's never been lost.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We can lost.
Yeah, yeah. What's amazing, another thing that stood out to me and what he said was, is that God is at work when he changes our minds. A lot of times we don't look at it that way because we're so stuck on our mindset and what we're going to do. God can't change our minds. So if God can't change our mind, then he definitely can't change our direction. And once we have our mind made up, it's all, God, you are laws or whatever you give me, I'm setting. So that's a great thing that God is at work even when he changes our minds. How many of you all are willing to allow God to change your mind? Okay, all right. Now, what's interesting is it's easy for him to change your mind if you really don't want it. But what if you want it real bad? You want the job, they got the right career, got the right career path, they got the right salary, and you unemployed, and you about to say yes to the employer, God says, say no. Mm. Oh, you see, it's easy when you say real good. Oh, yeah, Lord, change my mind. But let's get down where it really hurts. Can you really do that?
It's hard.
It makes sense here, Lord, because I'm right next to here, and my gas tank is on empty, and it tells me I got 5 miles. You say, no, don't go to that gas station. Lord, change your mind. Go all the way down Route 7. Lord, you know I can't make it that far, Lord.
One of the things you can look at is tithing.
Oh, Lord. Woo! Lord, change my mind on tithing. Yeah. Change my mind on being at church more than I should be. Changing my mind and not staying at work and be more influenced in the church. Instead of being at home, serve more. Yeah, this is where it's challenging. And when you say, God changed my mind, he's at work. When I know the right thing to do is what I'm about to do, and I know I'm about to give them what they deserve most, is that is the words that are going to come right out of my mouth, I'm planning for, and God says, don't say it. Do you change your mind then? Mr. Cole said, let's go out the parking lot, let's go settle this. Do you say, don't change my mind then? All right, let me come on this side. I'm going to meddle. We're going to get into this. I'm going to meddle a little bit. Let's go. Come on this side. What y'all got?
We have to work around with health, first of all. And
health?
Financial. And family, children, needs. Definitely praying on a daily basis. And I'm just going to share a little bit just the situation. I had a little incident prior to this week at mm-hmm. work, and it was a situation that came down as an incident,
mm-hmm.
and I was involved in it. But the fact that before I was going to go in, and I was a little frustrated, but mm-hmm. I had my prayer partner, I prayed, mm-hmm. and I went into the meeting, and God was right there.
Mm-hmm.
So those things, I realized when you're talking about the means of different types of work around, gives me that understanding now when situations come,
mm-hmm.
that gives me, because I've always had a problem with anger.
Yeah, okay.
In the past, so I have to always adjust.
Okay.
So with God working through my life,
uh-huh.
it gave me that nurturing, and that's what I needed to do, is just
yeah.
take a deep breath.
Okay.
Calm down. Say, God, can you help me?
Okay.
I'm at this point, you know, and uh-huh. I do that a lot on a daily basis. That's
okay.
me.
Okay.
So that's where we're at.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Is there anything else you want to add?
But I'm just saying, at some point, sometimes, as you were saying,
yeah.
it comes to a point and say, well, if I'm going to get that $100,000,
mm-hmm.
what, I'm going to take that jump or
mm-hmm.
paying my tithe.
Yeah.
Do I want to pay enough on my tithe if I'm appreciated enough for my finances that I can?
Yeah.
Or do I need to pay my bills?
Yeah.
You know, but that was a decision that comes up
mm-hmm.
at that moment. How
yeah.
do you react? And then where God sits in your lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
you're on that level.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm not there.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
You straight up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I can say, well, yeah, I can do it this time.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's up and down.
Right. Yeah, you know, my husband just got on my last nerve. Do I act like he got on mine, or do God change my mind and I surrender and submit?
Mm.
The husband. I'm on the other side too. I ain't saying on one side. I'm coming to the other side too. Yeah. So okay. Now the offering time. I know I gave my dollar because that's all I got in this parking book. But there's a checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I specifically got a checkbook, and I intentionally not going to write a check. I'm going to look for money. So I look at what I got in. Now God says, no, change your mind and write the check for $1,000. What's coming out of the purse? Uh-huh, my $1. Praise the Lord. Amen, somebody. But oh, in Bible study, the Lord changes our minds. All right, but hell. One thing stood out, he said hell, right? God is at work, I got cancer. God's at work, I got high blood pressure, and I got to buy all this medicine, and I'm more broke behind the medicine than I am health. God is at work in chemo treatment. God is at work when I had sexual relation with somebody and I kept an STD. God at work. Let me put down on y'all street. Again, we're going to experience God. We're going to go there here. So when we think about God, it's always at work. He's always at work, but it's hard sometimes in life to say God is at work when tragedy hits. God is at work. My husband died. How do I see God at work in that? How do I see God at work? My husband is suffering. He's getting smaller, smaller, and she's getting smaller. Her hair is going out. God is at work. God is at work when my husband don't look like he's finding a job, and I'm paying all the bills. God at work. Huh? No, I ain't talking about he don't think like me. I'm talking about us and our thinking about God.
Oh,
thinking.
It's your thinking when you're in a situation. God is at work. So my question is, when God is at work and we say that, what about when it's tragedy? Do we say, God is at work, praise the Lord? But that's what this verse is saying. In this exercise, you ought to be renewing your mind saying, God is always at work, even when it doesn't go your way. God is at work. If he don't answer your prayer, God is at work. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, you're right. God is always at work.
Yes, ma'am.
And we do not always get what we want.
Yes.
Sometimes God's will is for the opposite thing to happen.
Yes.
And that,
yes.
too, in our lives, it shows mm-hmm. us where we are in
yes.
our walk with him.
Mm-hmm.
How much we love him to show him how
sure.
to
sure.
through the tragedy
mm-hmm.
and the tragedy that we've had.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great point. And I'm trying in my best effort to not to put you down, but try to challenge you. That this is not after the situation you say, I see God how you at work. No, it's when day one. When the wife come home and says, the doctor said I got cancer, stage four, they can't do nothing else. That then you say now, I resolve, baby, I don't know how we're going to do this, but God is at work. It's challenging, but we got to grow to get there. Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask, too, part of the process is knowing when it's God and when it's us, because not everything bad that happens to us is God did it. I think he gets the blame for stuff that he don't do and don't get the credit for stuff that he does.
I agree.
Okay? All right. Y'all hear that? Everybody heard that?
Got it.
We got in the room agrees, in the room no? Okay. All right. What you going to say?
I want to tell the story. So this mother, her son had died, but he had, you know, went to the club and got drunk and drove home. And she said God took him away.
Okay.
That's his fault. Here's
the challenge.
That's true.
Okay. Now, you made a mistake. And it's our fault that we're in it. Does that mean God ain't at work no more?
When I say that,
I get it. No, I know what you're saying. I'm not saying false blame God on stuff we're in, but what we're saying is globally, regardless of whose fault it is at all, God is at work using whatever situation that we're in. I'm not saying God is the one that's doing it. I'm saying the results are happening. They are what they are. The life experience and challenges are happening. How do we say then God is at work? And that's what's hard.
The situation you were talking about, I think that was where choices come in.
Yeah. Or that's what we always do, Sister Kate, is we always want to not say the worst. So we always want to put the best spin on a negative tragedy. So when death happens, everybody in heaven. Y'all know that, right? you know when every family want to bury their loved one, that they in heaven. Everybody in heaven. No matter how much he lived or she lived, a rascal or a hellion, but when they get to the church, he is in heaven. God took him. That's the caveat statement all the time. All right, second. Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yep. Was that God gives us wisdom to know when to open our mouth and when to keep it shut.
Woo!
Colder than folded.
Yeah, that God gives us the wisdom when to open our mouths and keep it shut. So I wonder right now, when I see him got his hand clapping, which one God worked with? Yeah, what side? Is it God want him to keep quiet or God want him to talk? Which one?
I want him to talk. All
right, go ahead.
Yeah, I learned that because remember you came right in and you said, hey, listen to them because we learned from other tables. Mm-hmm. Back then, I would have had something to say about that, but God said, if you don't love discipline, you don't love knowledge.
All right.
So you know what I did?
See God at work? See? Amen. All right, come on. Not everybody wants.
Come on.
Give him the mic.
We can't hear.
We don't have the mic. I wish we had the mic.
Speak loud. That's what
we
do.
Do it in the back. I don't know where the key. Go ahead.
And we put down for God is at work for now. He wakes us up in the morning, and we are breathing. We have access to all our five senses, and He provides what we need and not what we want.
Yep.
Because if we got what we wanted, we might not be able to handle it. And He gives us relationships with others in our lives, example, husband and wife, children, and most of all, God shows us love to us, and He gave His own Son.
Okay? Now, one thing that stood out, she said, was that God is at work. She said so much. That when he wakes us up, or he gives us what we need rather than sometimes what we want. Right? But he also, she said, he also blessed us with relationships. Yeah, good or bad, right? But notice they put the husband and wife card. They're so easy. Oh, Lord, that we go to husband and wives. Good. But what about that, that deaconess you don't like? What about that sister that you can't stand? What about that supervisor that's micromanaging you? What about that coach that don't give you the clock that you need to be on the court? And you're the best one on the team. Is God blessing that relationship? Yeah. Wow. What about that husband that won't act like? And you at the board court. Is that God at work now too? When y'all arguing the most, when y'all shouldn't be loving, is God at work then? All right. I'm coming back to the table, to the back. Watch out. The great deacon is about to salvage my example of the deaconess that you're like. Let me get that mic.
We had excellent discussion. We said that we know that God is at work because he protects us. And he is our provider. We know he is at work because of the miracles that we witness. That he listens to us 24/7. We know that God is at work because of when we surrender our will to him. That we are less fearful, that he answers prayers, he takes care of our needs. He is at work because we are alive.
Amen.
Also, we had an example where someone said she couldn't find her keys and was delayed getting on the road and then saw an accident, an ambulance, and wondered, well, is that God at work delaying me, because that could have been me in that accident. That we know he's at work because of the creation that we see, that he has made all the magnificent things that we experience here on earth. We even talked about seeing God at work in the season change from, you know, going from dormancy to spring and fall and, you know, then winter again.
Amen. Thank you so much. What I love about that table, I'm not playing favorites though, but it really showed how they did the exercise, that somebody said they woke up in the morning and kind of said, how is God at work, before they even left the house. I like that. I don't know who said it over there, but that's good. I love that right there already. But protection and provision. That God is at work when he's providing for us, when he's protecting us. Right? All right? Good. This table. Who's the spokeswoman? I'll be made excited for one.
Well, to me, it means he's in control of everything. Whether you're sick, whether you're well, whether you're broke or rich or whatever, he's in control of it all.
Yeah.
As there's nothing that he doesn't know about. He's an all-knowing God.
Say so.
Wow.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. He's at work.
So when I add a nickel, I ought to say, God is at work. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. Absolutely. Good. God is at work. Yes, ma'am. Anybody who does?
So God is at work because of nature. We see the birds, the trees, the plants, waters and oceans flow. Also, we know God is at work because seasons change, as Sister Samuel says. We know that God is at work because we breathe air every day. And we know that God is at work because he's working on our behalf. And sometimes he says no, but it's always working for our good. He does the unexpected. We lay down and we wake up. And I think that's it.
Good, good. Who's next? I think last but not least. No, y'all is last. I'm sorry. Ms. Kate. Who's supposed to
be? I knew it was time for me to come run my mouth. Even though we are different individuals, God is at work with each of us.
Say that one more time.
Even though we are different individuals, God is at work with each of us.
Amen.
He helps us to prosper and stay on the jobs that we are about to walk away for our best interest. Each day is a new beginning, even if we don't realize it. He will teach you to zip your lip. Even when your ego gets the best of you, God uses circumstances to allow you to be in calm, to calm you and keep you away from your anger too also. So I think about it what we've discussed here.
Good.
That is real good. The first one again. Even though that we all are individually different, but God is at work in each and every one of us, which is powerful. I'm going to say the best for last because I did hear one that I thought would be primary among us that would be stated. Go ahead. See, they may get it. I don't know.
Okay, one, we know God is at work because you right here preaching to us.
Amen.
You can't preach. If God ain't at work, then you'll preach everything wrong.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Two, I know God is at work because I can do this. You heard that? Three, we can do this all day. A dude, I'm sorry if I talk slang a little bit, but a dude, he had hit my car, and then I was already arguing at the time. So I don't like getting scared. Like, I don't like playing games, so I got to get jumped. Boom. So I jumped out the car, and then my whole mind state changed. And he happened to be a preacher. And paid me.
That's why you like it. He paid me, right?
God is at work every day, all day, because every Thursday we managed to get hit.
All right.
And we all got a heart that beat. We all got 2 feet to walk on. We can raise our hands, say hallelujah, that's God at work. And just, we got life. I mean, he's at work. He's somebody waking up from a coma right now. Someone just got through heart surgery and still lives right now. Somebody just got shot through the head and he's still breathing right now. Someone just recovered from cancer right now. Someone got hit by a car on the bus, got ran over, but he can still crawl and walk from that. He at work every day, all day. We got gravity. We don't float off in the air. I mean, the earth is still in space. It's not falling.
Yeah.
The core not about to erupt. Ain't no volcanoes right that's blowing up. He at work even when a disaster comes, like if a tornado comes. If you survive it, he at work. And he's just at work because we still hit.
Amen.
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 Amen. Good. God
of mine.
Amen. One of the things I was looking for was salvation. That God is at work because your butt saved. Glory to God. Some of us got titles. in the church. Oh, you look at iPads. Woo, woo, woo. Look, and some of our presents. Uh-oh, watch out. Woo. But again, God is at work. But I'll turn to page number 14 in your book. Do that table have a book over there?
Okay, what's 14?
No, keep going, Pastor. Keep going.
I want to make sure they have a book. Now, on page 14, real quickly, as we go through it, real quickly, remember I touched on a lot of this last week when Moses gets his encounter in the burning bush, right? Did Moses know God before then? Anybody?
Yes.
Okay. Does Moses know God prior to the burning bush?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
And how would you know that? What would get you?
In the word, it said that he did because his father-in-law was a man of God.
Okay.
And
okay.
He knew, and he mm-hmm. was a teacher.
Right? Yeah.
And he was, Moses was under his father's tutelage at
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And once he killed that man.
Right. But what's interesting that Moses says, who should I say sent me? And if he already knows who he is, then why would he ask this question?
Let's say he knew about him.
Yeah. I would think more if he knew about him. But now he's getting what? The experience of a personal encounter with God. All right? So, apart from salvation, now we know this is probably Moses' turning point, where he's actually experiencing God and walking with God, right? Is he experiencing God continuously? Or is that the only experience he's going to have with God? All right? So his level of experience is growing as he has life experience. Because there are a lot of Christians who know about God, but they really don't know him. And so one of the ways to know God is not only through his book, but it's through experience. And so here we have 66 books of lived experience. And so here Moses is experiencing God at the same time that God is using his experience to lead millions of people that are going to have what? An experience with God. Isn't that interesting? That he takes Moses through an experience first. So could God be having you to experience him so that you can show others how God can be experienced as he's doing in your life? So if God is at work, then yeah, because Jesus says, I'm doing as I see my Father doing. So it's a continuation of him experiencing God too as well. Is that correct? Jesus experiencing the Father too on another level. Y'all see that? Y'all think that? Y'all, I'm off a rock over y'all see it. Jesus is experiencing the Father as he lives on earth.
Yes.
One of the classic examples is on the cross. My God, why have you what? Forsaken me. All this time, I've got fellowship with you. I've never wanted for anything. But now, in my most critical moment, where are you?
In the garden.
Yeah. God, I don't want to experience you this way. Can I experience you another way? Have you ever been like that? Lord, I don't want this problem. Remove me out the problem, Lord. Fix my marriage quickly, Lord. Fix my daughter quickly, Lord. Or get my situations quick. Because why? I want to experience you through this. You ever been there?
All right.
Jesus is a classic example saying, let me experience you another way. But what did he say? Nevertheless, not my
will.
Look, Lord, I don't want to make up any experience and have to make you stamp it. Because some of us change roles and we do what we want and tell God to bless it. Oh, God, I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way, and I want you to bless it, God. And some of us, we say we're praying, but we're praying and walking at the same time. Lord, you better stop me now because I'm en route. Not that I'm going to stop, pray, and then get direction, then move. No, I'm praying as I'm moving. And Jesus says, no, let me take a moment, God, not my experience, and have you bless it. I want your experience. Then this is a catalyst to chapter number two. Yes, sir.
I like what the book said, too, about us.
It's coming, y'all. It's coming. I promise y'all, it's coming. It's coming. Something profound is coming, I promise you.
I just lost it.
All right, now, page 14. At the bottom, it says, whenever God reveals his nature in a new way, it's always a purpose. The operative word for some of us is new. Because a lot of us don't like change. We like repetition. I like to figure God out. I'd like to know what he's doing and how he's doing it. God, don't do nothing new. Don't do nothing unplanned, unexpected. I need to have somebody give me a model. I need to follow because I need to have stuff that makes sense. So he says, in a new way, right? It's always a purpose. All right? Number two, he created you for a love relationship with him. When he encounters you, he is allowing you to know him by experience. Did you know that God is encountering you? Abraham, now I know you love me more than these. As I'm watching and encountering you, I get to see your heart. Could God be doing that to you? Could God allow you to go through the most difficult problems in your life to see your heart? Look what else he says. When God encounters you, he is allowing you to know him by experience. Encounters with God are always an expression of God's love for you.
I think so.
You got a bounce over there.
Are always expression of God's love for you, right? Look what he said. If you have a love relationship with God, God, you will experience him actively working in and through your life. For instance, could not truly know God as a comfort of sorrow unless you experience his compassion during a time of grief or sadness. Could loneliness be the barometer God is using to experience him? Could the lack of love you're experiencing in your marriage be a way of God demonstrating his power and love in your life? Could be your child not doing the right thing be a way of God allowing you to experience? What about a bad relationship? Real quickly, go under experience
Stephen.
Or Stephen says something.
Stephen got
Online. Sometimes
what some people have a relationship, they don't appreciate them until they step out.
Until
they really realize what they got.
Right.
That's
all right.
Y'all hear
that? You know that. Yeah. How you know that, dude? Wait a minute. You're right. That's good.
It's fair. That could be girlfriend or anything. That could be like with your mother. You'll never know how much you love your mother. Well, not for everybody.
Yeah.
But some people, until they mother even act like they leave or act like they about to send them off, then you find out how much you need your mother.
Mm.
Right. A lot of Bible say honor your mother.
Mm.
And your father.
Yes.
Mm. Amen. Yeah. So y'all know what I go through all the way around. I got all four of them. No. All right. The names of God in Scripture reveal something of his nature. Activity, character, you know him, you come to know God by experience and as initiative, and his initiative, right? As he allows you to learn something new about him. When you're praying for God to learn something new, you got to expect it ain't coming the way you want it. Sometimes, the minute you say, God, I want to know you deeper, I want to fall more in love with you, all hell breaks loose.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you say, God, what is this? And he's saying, oh, did you pray? You did say you wanted to know me, right? This is how you do it. At the most difficult moment, that's when God shows you your power. Now, again, outside of it, you wouldn't experience God on a great level unless you had that. All right? Number three, let me go on. You grow to know him more intimately and personally. As you grow in knowledge of him, you will naturally want to express your praise, gratitude, worship to him. You see that? As you get to know him more intimately.
Where are you?
I'm on page 15 now. I'm on summary on page 15. Now, real quickly, this is not a group exercise, but just a challenge. On page 15 and 16, which one of these attributes stand out to you and why? The names of God. Anybody daring? Just pick one, not three. All we want is one.
I have to say my hope, and that's because anything you're going through, you always can pray to God, and you can talk to God, and that's where you get your hope from. And you know he's got your best interest at heart. And that's why you can always count on him to get you through it.
Have you ever experienced a time where you were hopeless?
Yeah, several times. Probably there's two that come to mind. One was when I got laid off in about 2007.
Hold on real quickly. I forgot to say this parenthetically. I don't know if y'all know it or not. What goes on in here stays in here. Let me say that again. What goes on in here stays in here. The minute, I got to make sure we turn, but that, yeah. Well, in here.
No, it's recorded.
Oh, it's recorded. Got to think about that. No, but even, what I mean by that is no gossiping about it. That's what I mean by going out and saying, did you hear what's the name said about?
Yeah.
We can all learn from this in the class, but I'm talking about that other conversation.
Right.
Do you know what that said is? Woo, I would have never known that, none of that. Because as we're spirits of God, we need to be knowing that we're in family, and family is going to protect each other's vulnerability. Amen?
Amen.
Are we all on the same page?
All right.
Praise the Lord. I pray. pray the minute you begin that the Holy Spirit will convict you right on the spot.
Pain to tongue.
Or like come out like John and that John Zachariah couldn't talk. And God will shut the mouth while you're trying to talk. Alright, go ahead, sorry, y'all. Every word. Somebody listen to me. God tell me you lost the job.
All right, so 2007, I lost the job. I was an accountant. Got laid off after doing an internship. Worked there for about a year and a half. And the day after tax season, which is April 15th, they come to me and say, we got to talk to you. And, you know, they bring you down to the office. They talk to you. And they told me that, unfortunately, they brought on too many people. You're new. At the time, I think I was about 23, 24. And, unfortunately, we got to let you go. But here's the severance package, and, you know, we wish you the best, and blah, 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 blah. So at that point, you're like, you had everything. You're about to move out for the first time. And, you know, you're at rock bottom at that point. And then to make matters worse, I looked into a bunch of different employment opportunities. So I looked through, you know, going through FedEx, UPS, Postal Service. Nobody was hiring. Also, I didn't want to go back to my previous job, which was Toys R Us. I've been there for, at that point, 8 years, and I thought I could do better. I didn't want to go back. I wanted a new chapter. No accounting firm was hiring. I didn't really have the experience at that time to get another accounting job. I was still going to school as well. Then I came across this ad in the Washington Examiner. Thought it was legit. You know, they said that you would be able to get these checks cashed. And, you know, they send you a check. You think it's legitimate.
Yep.
And you go to the bank.
Yeah.
You cash it. Mm-hmm. You send it to whoever they tell you to send it to. Mm-hmm. Via Western Union. So the money comes out. The check's bad. So the money comes out of your account. All the money that I worked to save is gone. Luckily, I was still at my parents' house. And, you know, they found out about the situation. I mean, how can you hide that? You can't. So, they're like, well, why don't you go back to Toys R Us or try some other retail, since that's what your background is, and, you know, you're a good worker and you can get that. So I ended up applying at Target. They didn't, for some reason, they didn't call me back. Toys R Us, I had a couple of friends there. I left on good terms, and I was like, hey, I kind of hit bad times and need a job. They're like, well, consider yourself hired. And they brought me on, stayed there for 2 years, you know, promotion after promotion, and then ended up getting a call from my current employer for accounting. And it was a crossroads between, do I stay at Toys R Us and be a manager, or do I go and do the accounting thing where, you know, you got laid off the last time you tried it? So obviously I went with the accounting, and here I am.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Amen. That's interesting, just going through cycles of that, that we experience hopelessness. So hope stands out to him in his own personal way of how we're at a dismal point when there was no hope, no employment on the horizon. He had to turn and look at God come through. Anybody else real quickly? What other stands out?
Job has one.
I'm coming.
Unless you can talk loud enough so we don't
get talk loud.
Okay.
God is the same.
God who saved me?
Yeah. And through life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I've had tragedy after tragedy, health-wise, since I was in my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought me closer to God.
Mm.
And I didn't realize when I was in an explosion in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And the light didn't go off then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But things have happened. And also, my wife played an important role in where I am today.
Mm.
And that's the reason I really believe that you have to be connected.
Yeah.
Because if she wasn't the person she is, I probably wouldn't be the person that I am. And he's taken care of me several times. I've been very close to death several times. He's brought me back. And people have died all around me.
Yeah.
I was on dialysis in the 90s. And I could count at least 8 or 9 people that I knew personally that's not here anymore. And we had an incident a few years back. My son gave me a kidney 7 years ago. And I was going to dialysis with this guy that was my same age. He had 8 living relatives. Nobody would be tested to give him a kidney. And he died. 8 living relatives.
8.
I went to the funeral. All 8 of them were at the funeral.
Wow.
So he protected and taken care of me. And brought me out of many bad situations. And I'm just blessed to be in this health that I am now. Not 100%, but
I'm
thankful.
Would you, in your experience, as you think back, would you say that came at a time where you were on fire for God?
No.
Amazing.
Absolutely not.
Amazing. Amazing how, no matter how fickle we are, God's love to you look beyond all of that and still continue to hold you together, because he knew one day it'll click. And he'll love me more than anything that God has spread. So I praise God for that.
We got in a situation after our children were grown. And we took on the responsibility of a child that was less than 2 years old.
Yeah.
A granddaughter. She's a senior now in college. And I think we have purposes in life. And I know God didn't want that little girl to grow up without us.
Amen. Amen. And as I think through this, you are a better man through it to be able to be the right man she needed. And I think sometimes we don't look at it that way when we're going through how God uses situations to develop us and mold us and make us into who he created us to be.
This young fellow here hit on something very important. When he's talking about not appreciating. A lot of us, I say us because I'm included. We were married a long time, young, and I tell everybody, I love this girl, love her. I didn't appreciate her all my life. I learned to appreciate. And people must be honest with themselves. And that's a huge problem. We try to tell other people things, but we also try to fool ourselves.
You know, that's interesting you say that, because you could have said some other things. Well, Miss Cole, at that time, she wasn't treating me right as I should be treated, so I didn't appreciate it. But you said, nah, I'm owning this. Not her fault. I'm the one that didn't appreciate her. Amen. 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 I appreciate number two, being a man to share what you're sharing. Because that does something for me, but it also does something for them who are watching what a man looks like. And sometimes men don't take the initiative and be a model, because we got a lot of women in the church, but a lot of men, and then when they're here, they don't talk. They don't share. They just sit and look. And knowing they got more problems than the wife does, than the woman does. But yet we taught how to mask it and to be macho, but we need to see that vulnerability. So I want to thank you for sharing that. All right. All right, turn on to page. Wow, I could go all day long. Yeah, I see it. I see it. I see it. Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go ahead, Kyrie.
Kings of Kings really stepped out to me. Because it say, I remember in Revelation, it say, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the first and the last. And, like, I feel like that you can go to him at any point in time, like, whether you're in a situation or not. And especially when you're in a situation, because you're in a situation because God put it there. And God has the blueprint to that situation. And He the only one that can get you out of it. And I feel like no matter what, you can always go to Him.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any others? Attributes. Go ahead.
One that I liked it was, well, I like all of them.
We're surprised, all. Amen. Amen. Let's just see, man. He like them all.
The one that I really liked was our life.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, I got to start. So I was out.
You said our life?
Yeah, our life.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, people was like, man, you wasting your time going out talking to people about God. You wasting your time.
Mm.
Like they tell me I'm wasting my life.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
Yeah.
So my gas tank was on E. But somebody called me, he was like, man, can you come over here and talk to us? At like 10:30 at night. And I'm eating. So in my head, I was like, man, no.
Like, no, I'm eating and no, I ain't got no gas.
I don't even talk to dudes on the phone. It's late. Okay. And then it's 4 or 2 I didn't know. And then how this world set up.
Mm.
It's a lot of bad things going on.
Mm.
And a lot of people get set up these nowadays. So I'm really skeptical about that.
Mm.
You know, who I hang around.
Because
if I don't see God in you, I can't trust you.
Mm. Mm.
And if I see God in you, I'm trusting God. So I
even if I do see God, I'm trusting God.
So I go over there. But before I go over there, I put $40 in my tank and fill it up. So that next day, my mother called me. This is like 2 weeks after Christmas. And my mother called and she said, "Steve, your aunt got this Christmas gift for you and it's $40.
Mm.
So God showed me that. Wow. You ain't wasting your gas on me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm.
Wow.
And you ain't wasting no time.
Wow.
Because I'm the only thing that you can take with you.
Mm.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Any others?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to share something that it's really not earth-shaking, but it kind of speaks to the way people hear what you say,
mm-hmm.
or what they receive from what you say.
Mm.
In speaking with in a group, and they were talking about marriage.
Mm.
And I said, I don't consider myself an authority, but I was married to my first husband for 22 years.
Mm.
And I've been married to my second husband for 45 years.
Mm.
And one of the younger women said, my God, how old are you?
There was a time in my life where I thought I couldn't live without some sort of outside chemical substance in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And drugs and alcohol was a big part of my story.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go outside because I went to the hospital, and basically the hospital said, I called myself a Christian back then, but I was still living that way. When I went to the hospital, they said, you're just a person that likes to abuse things. We don't think you really have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I continued to live that way,
mm-hmm.
going to church, still drinking and doing and everything else I think I could get. And then I went to the church, and the church that I was a part of at the time told me, they said, you know everything there is to know about you know, scriptures and how you should live your life. So you basically just got to do it, you know. And so I went to the hospital. They couldn't help me. I went to the church. They couldn't help me.
Mm.
So I ended up having to go seek help outside. And I sought help in a particular program that pointed me to what I was running from the whole time. It basically told me I needed to have a personal relationship with God.
Mm.
And when I went into that program and I took those steps and I prayed for God to relieve me of the obsession of drinking and things, then it was taken away from me.
Mm.
So I live my life now by giving back to those who are going through that.
Mm.
And I used to ask myself, you know, why me? Why was I going through that? And then somebody said, why not you?
Wow.
And and so now part of my story is helping those who feel like there's no life outside of that, because until you've been a
praise be to God.
Praise God.
A lot of people don't know what it's like to be addicted to stuff.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God.
And you can't see.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank God for my wife.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. Because she put up with some stuff nobody should have ever put up with. She might have a special place in heaven.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, and the fact that I'm still here.
Hallelujah.
And there's so many times I've been sitting in these meetings and I've been listening to people tell, you know, God is good. And I'm going to give a testimony
thank
that
you, Jesus.
There's life after drugs, there's life after alcohol. It's life after not knowing who you never meet your father.
Wow.
There's so many things I could tell you about.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm.
A lot of people don't know about me.
Thank you.
But I'm a living witness. You know, and God can deliver you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Anything.
Thank you.
And then look where it brings you. You know?
Mm.
You're in a church where you go serving. It's almost like it never happened. It's in here, and I use that knowledge to help other folks who I see struggle. I don't always, you know, I don't announce it, but if I hear somebody make a comment or something, I may pull them to the side and talk to them. You know, people with family members, because until you experienced it, you really don't know what it's like. And I thank God for that experience, because now I can help others.
Amen.
Understand exactly where it's coming from, and until you have experienced things, that's what I was meaning. God will take circumstances and then move it around, move you around to where that you are an example, and use you.
Mm-hmm.
I have, I'm a living witness, I have been in the same situation, and for quite a few. Well, I've come to a program called Alcohol Anonymous. And I didn't know anything about God or nothing. But I went through the steps that we had, the 12 steps.
Yep.
And really, when I experienced my spiritual awakening, that's when all things started coming. I have to look back over history of what I've experienced and went through in order to actually realized that God was in all of it. But as I say, this coming September, if I live to see it, it'll be 33 years since I have had any. Not saying that I haven't wanted it.
Right.
And there are people right today that, in fact, I facilitate. In a meeting every Tuesday night. And so It's why you don't see me around on Tuesday nights, because I'm there. And I was taught within the program that if I wanted to keep my sobriety, I had to give it away. And by doing so, that's what I do. I go. And I don't know, I've had people come to me and have me on. I don't even know if they said a name, what I've done. I don't know anything about it, and I'm not even after that experience. But the experience of what I have been through. Each one of us may have experienced it a little different, but we can understand and actually relate to each other when we're in the program. I could sit here and talk on the subject the rest of the day.
If you don't know, I'm for a minute, I always capture God moments. And if you don't mind, can I hug you?
No.
Just one little thing I'd like to say. We all have different situations. The big problem that I see with people on the whole, we are so selfish and we have so little tolerance for anybody else. We know what we've been through. We hide it. We lie about it or what have you. And then we don't have any tolerance for whatever anybody. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to do anything. I'm not talking about everybody, Ron. I'm talking about on the whole. Definitely to every rule. I'm talking about people as people. And we talk about our kids. These kids are doing this that we don't talk about how messed up parents are. We always talk about kids.
Parents, do you have a
Yeah, I do. Well, you know, I told my sister Barbara not too long ago, you know, I just grew up. Because when I was younger, I was so shy. And I just realized I had an imaginary friend, and that imaginary friend was Jesus. And I didn't know it at the time because I was always afraid of stuff when I was younger. And I put on the front. And in the second grade, my teacher always told me that I was always daydreaming. But I wasn't daydreaming. It was just I was in another world. My mom always told me whatever went on in the house stayed in the house. So I couldn't have anybody to outlet, you know, to talk to. So that imaginary friend and I talked. And that imaginary friend was Jesus. Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to say that I think us wives have something to say.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we've lived with these men with their addiction. And nobody knows what it's like until you live with a person that has an addiction. That is a sick person. That is a hurting person. And you see them and you have to stick with them. You can't walk away from them.
That's right. That's right.
You have to stick with them because you know that the day is coming that it's going to be better. So you hang with them with whatever happens. There was a thing that happened, and it was a little whatever. And when we got home that morning, Rosa said to me, "I'm sorry, I know I have hurt you." And it just felt like, I prayed, but my prayer wasn't answered the way I thought it was going to be. It was answered. good way.
Yeah.
And it showed me that God was in control
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
even to every day,
yeah.
God
yeah.
is in control.
Yeah.
You,
yeah.
you can see God working mm-hmm. stuff, with everything in our life.
Sure, sure.
So, we watched, we stuck
yeah,
with
yeah.
these guys because we loved them. Number one, we loved them.
That's right.
And number two, we was married to them. So what else was
good?
Right. It's funny that this is God, the reason why I said God moments is because I really wanted to, and I was with the Holy Spirit's leading, that you mentioned what the wives go through.
Yeah.
Because I believe that there's some wives in this room that are not going through, I won't say not as difficult, but they're ready for divorce court of the smallest thing.
Yeah.
And here you all have lived through the most tragic situation. Now, I'm not trying to minimize people's situation, but can you, for a moment, speak to life after that God finally answered? And as a wife now on the other side of it, you know, if you both can kind of speak to that.
For me, afterwards, it's like getting to know that person all over.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the person that I knew before I married him, before the addiction took over. And it's something that now that we can sit and discuss and talk about. Before, we was just talking. We weren't discussing anything. We weren't solving any problems. We was just talking. But now, and we can talk about almost anything.
And
I can talk about the day that you hurt me, the day that whatever, without it being misunderstood. And it's a lot of misunderstanding in that disease.
Yes, it is.
And that's what it is. It's a disease.
Yes,
people don't
that's right.
to admit it. They don't want to hear you say it. It is a disease. Anything a person has to do every day at a certain time every day. Yes.
Yes.
It is a disease. And it's something that they have to, it's pretty hard to go through. You know, I've seen things happen that afterward that I knew what was happening. You know, the addiction was coming back. The devil was coming back. The devil was saying, you know, you can do it. It's okay. And whatever. And I've seen him sit on his hands to keep from going to take it. That's just how it's it's a
cunning, baffling
disease.
God of all comfort. Because no matter what you're going through in your life, God is there. And with spouses, husband and else, we've gone through a lot of things. A lot of things. And I knew, like I said, I knew we loved each other. But sometimes you question that. But God was still there. And I knew for myself, I only wanted one husband. And I wasn't going to go.
Okay.
So through it all, like I said, there was a lot of But the main thing that God was there, and you could always talk to him, even at your lowest point,
all the time,
you could hear his voice telling you what to do and how.
Wow.
But to hold on,
yes, you know,
because a better time was coming.
Amen.
And thank God.
Amen.
And thank God.
Glory to
God. Amen. Amen.
Wow. Let's give them
your time, man.
It's only chapter one.
Jesus. Yeah.
That's one of the situations where your head say to lead, but your heart says not to.
The head says lead, the heart says stay. Now, real quickly, my last question. One second answer. If you had to do it all over again, aren't you glad you stayed?
Amen.
I didn't have a prayer at all.